You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This afternoon, MPs will vote on the government's plan seeking to make medicinal cannabis more available. The bill purportedly lays the foundation for a regulated medical cannabis industry and also gives a defence for the terminally ill to use and possess cannabis. The Greens have submitted a similar bill that is more far-reaching. Their bill will allow patients with a terminal illness or debilitating condition to grow their own cannabis subject to a doctor's permission. Medicinal cannabis campaigner Rebecca Rader has criticised the government's bill, claiming that it doesn't go far enough and will still criminalise suffering people. Earlier, I spoke to Ross Bell, Executive Director of New Zealand Drug Foundation, to discuss the benefits and drawbacks and started off by asking him what he made of it all.
We actually think the government bill is a really good one. Certainly it has some weaknesses, but fundamentally the things that are proposed in that bill, once they're fully in place, which is going to take a couple of years, will actually create quite a robust medical cannabis system, quite similar to the systems that we're seeing running in countries like the Netherlands and Canada. So I think fundamentally it's a good bill, but yes, there's some things that it needs to be improved.
So do you see it as kind of a precursor to bigger and better things?
Well, I think what the bill does is create a structure that gives us better, gives us the good things that we want. It's just that those good things are going to take time. So if you look at the system they have in Canada, you have a government agency, which is what the Labor bill will establish, which oversees how the domestic production of medical cannabis products, how those, how doctors get educated about those and how those prescriptions work and what the products are, the different compounds within those products and advice to patients and doctors about how those different products will benefit different medical conditions. So, and fundamentally that's what the Labor bill does. It creates that structure where you would have an agency within probably the Ministry of Health that oversees the licensing of domestic manufacture, what the quality control of the products, what's in them, and then advice to doctors about how to prescribe those. And ultimately, that's the thing that we want. Having a domestic system like that will give safety to doctors because they want that. It'll give clarity to patients and a wider range of products to patients because they need that. And the unknown part, but the one that we assume will happen, is it should reduce the price, the expense of these products if you have a domestic market. Arguably, that's going to be cheaper than bringing stuff in from overseas.
Yeah, so in terms of domestic production, are you advocating for companies under license to produce it, or would you also support those that are terminally ill to grow it themselves?
We would support both, which is why we quite like the government bill and then also Chloe Swarbrick's bill. So again, if we look at Canada has both systems where you have the government licensing, that government regulation, but also allowing patients or their nominated representatives to grow their own. And there's nothing, and we think that works well in Canada, so there's no reason why that wouldn't work well here. You could argue that the government bill in creating that regulatory body, it could well be that regulatory body then turns around and says, well, this, we're going to license these growers to do this, but we're also going to allow patients and their supporters to grow their own. I'm not sure that's what quite the government has in mind, but you could allow that to happen under that regime. If you don't allow that to happen under the government regime, then you need the Green Bill, which allows that patient growing to exist as well.
And so under Labor's bill, it will still be technically illegal for those that are terminally ill to consume the cannabis. They just won't be criminalised. They'll have a legal defence for it. Why not just make it actually legal?
Well, I think it will. Once you've got that system in place, And again, you know, the government has said that they're going to take a couple of years to get there. But once that's in place, essentially, you will then have a legal medical cannabis market. The defence they have for terminal patients, we're describing as a stopgap measure. Until you have that perfect system in place, here is a defence for terminal patients. I think everyone knows that doesn't go far enough. That defence should extend to many, many more people, including people in pain. One way that, and we haven't quite written our submission yet, but one of the things we're looking at is whether we propose to government that they don't go down that here's a defence route. Instead, they be more proactive and create a system that they have in New South Wales, which is a kind of an amnesty list where a patient and the people that grow their medicine proactively get put on a list. And, you know, they say, well, you know, my doctor, which is approved by the doctor, get put on the list, and if you're on that list, the police leave you alone. So that could actually be a better way at managing, you know, that transition period than having this defence, because having the defence still implies that the police bust you and prosecute you through the courts, and then once you're before the court, you get to turn around and say, "Well, this is my defence." You want to stop. You don't want that to happen in the first place. So, I think having an amnesty list is probably a better way of dealing with that, and opening that list up to more than just terminal patients with terminal illnesses.
Yeah, it seems kind of funny, doesn't it? Because this is about health and pain relief. But surely arresting dying people can't be very good for their health.
Well, and the government. This government and previous governments argue that that's not happening, that these arrests aren't happening, which isn't true. We know that these arrests are happening, and it's not good for your health. It's hugely stressful at a time where, you know, you're unwell, hugely damaging to your finances because, you know, lawyers are expensive, and that whole the criminal justice system is an expensive beast. So yeah, look, if this government argues that this issue is a health issue, which is what they have been saying, then we need to keep the criminal justice system well away from this. Ultimately, once the regime is in place, then that would happen. But until we have that system, we have to show the compassion and kindness that Helen Kelly was always talking about. And so we do need that. What we're wanting today, because this is the bill, the government bill's before the House today, we're wanting parties to vote, MPs to vote for this bill to select committee, so that we can improve it, that we can support the bits that are strong and that we like, and that we can improve the current weaknesses in the bill, and fundamentally to show that kindness that I think many, many, many New Zealanders want shown towards people who use cannabis for medical purposes.
So on this proposed regulated cannabis industry, if the price doesn't really, in effect, go down, will the government be subsidising the products like other medicines?
Yeah, well, I think the government needs to do everything to remove the many barriers that are currently in place. One of the barriers is access to products, and so having a domestic market would deal with that. The other significant barrier is the barrier of cost. If having a homegrown industry doesn't reduce that cost, then the government will have to look at ways of subsidising it. And the obvious route, of course, is Pharmac. And if Pharmac doesn't feel that it wants to do that, then the government should do what the previous government did and give Pharmac additional money to subsidise these things. The government should be focused on getting rid of all of the barriers that are currently in place.
And under this current bill, should it just be the terminally ill that get access to medicinal cannabis? And if not, why so?
Well, fundamentally it won't be. The medical cannabis will be available to all patients who need it. But again, that regime's going to take a while to get there. So once it's in place, then anyone who would benefit from medical cannabis arguably will be able to have that prescribed by a doctor. So that's the fundamental aim of the government bill, which is why we like it. The issue around terminal illnesses is just that narrow defence. which is essentially kind of that stopgap measure. And that's the bit that the government does need to broaden out to include people who are in pain and a wider range of illnesses, frankly. Anyone who benefits from medical cannabis should be able to have that as a defence. Or they could follow potentially our proposal, which is to have this amnesty list. And so I think there is some confusion around this terminal illness thing. This is only a short-term sticking point. Once the full regime is in place, then we will have a proper medical cannabis regime in the country.
Do you see this as the beginning of a wider drug law reform in general?
I think it's part of the mix, but we've always been clear that these are two separate issues. We support a legal market for medical cannabis. We also support a legal market and a regulated market for adult recreational use. But I think the two things need to be separated because there is this fear. It's not a justifiable fear, but it is a fear, and it's one that, you know, has to be acknowledged, that if you do stuff around medical, somehow you're going to open the door to other things. I think we need to have two separate regimes, a regulated market for medical cannabis and a regulated market for adult recreational use. And why we want to treat medical differently is because there are legitimate medical cannabis, you know, there are legitimate medical benefits, but you know, patients need to understand how medical cannabis medicine will interact with other medications, what the different ratios that would work for different illnesses, how that is prescribed, etc., the quality control. You want to have some real rigor and robustness around the medical system, not just for adults, but for very young children who will benefit from medical cannabis. So you do, a lot of people just say, well, let patients grow their own, but ultimately you need to have much more rigor in a medical cannabis regime. So that's why that regime is going to be quite different to any regulations that ultimately happen for recreational use.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Ross?
Well, the balance of power within Wellington right now, within the Parliament, is a very fine balance. And if listeners want these bills to become law, then we need people to lobby directly. So what I would encourage people to do is ring up their local MP and say, you know, get them to vote for both the government bill and for Chloe's members' bill. You know, so if people are het up about this issue, who are really concerned about this, then the best thing they can do is actually to ring up their MP and get them to vote.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.